watch that. They cut his fingers off somewhere up by the Shattuck. It sounds like this guy was tortured. When you cut someone's fingers off, that's a message.
Boston police, anybody here, make yourself known.
Blood everywhere.
Started off at a totally different place in life. I grew up, you know, literally dirt poor in the hills of Mexico City, living in a house that my mom built. I am a veteran of two wars. I have two Bronze Stars. I've been in places and seen things that I never thought I would see, but I never got rid of that itch that I just wanted to be a Boston cop.
T.C. Catronio, a former Army Special Ops with top secret clearance, is now a sergeant patrolling out of District A7 in East Boston.
When I was over there in combat zones, I've gotten into, you know, numerous firefights where the bullets have come so close I could pick them up off the ground after they stop spinning. You know, having experienced that, it does change the way you look at, you know, your threat. You do realize the reality of what a bullet can do. So right now, I always call this the community policing hours, where it's daylight, you say hi to people and talking to people, interacting, you know, kind of a neighborhood policing approach. This part's a nice part, I like it. Once the sun goes down, things change a little. I think that's when your crime starts to kind of escalate a little bit and start looking for criminals out here or an actual crime.
As supervising sergeant of the shift, Catronio rides alone. So he has to rely on his eyes and his instincts on patrol.
I see these two people sitting on the stairs there of a house. I don't see a cigarette, I see a pipe. I knew he was smoking crack. No, don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere. Come here. Don't pursue down Trenton. Going towards Brooks. Come here. Come here. Trenton to Putnam. Going up Putnam. Push it in between you. Get behind you. Hands behind your back.
Come on, Rice.
Get behind your back.
Come on, Rice.
Put hand behind your back.
Get your hands down.
Okay,
come
relax.
On,
it's over.
Come on, Rice.
Boss, what are we looking for?
He tossed what I think drugs over there. A lot of times, you know, throw the evidence. I bet you it's a crack pipe because I couldn't smell marijuana. Now I got to go back and find whatever that was. That's the painful part, is because I know what I'm looking for is like the smallest piece of evidence. I got it. See it?
Oh, I got you.
Yeah, it's a crack pipe. Sometimes you just get the bad guy. Sometimes you just find the evidence. When you get the guy and the evidence, it does help your case in prosecution.
The officers of the Boston Police Department know that being a good cop means fighting the good fight, day in and day out. For Patrol Officer Jennifer Penton, the fight game is front and center off the job.
Get the heart rate up. All right, this girl we're fighting, she's an orthodox fighter. No more southpaw.
In just 4 days, she'll step into the ring for her first real fight, an amateur boxing event set up by fellow officer Tim Stim to raise money for victims of the Boston Marathon.
Training for the fight is a lot like what we do as police officers to get ready for the job.
When you're in a tough situation at work, you focus, you pay attention to what you're doing, and that's what you gotta do.
Being a boxer takes training and a lot more than I had. I made a decision to attempt to do something that was like nothing I've ever taken on before.
Concentration. What are you watching?
Gloves.
The gloves. What's gonna hit you?
Gloves.
All right.
Get into the ring when there's 1,000+ people are gonna be watching, it takes a lot of guts. There's not too many people that would sign up to do it. She did, I take my hat off to her.
What's gonna separate the person who wins from the person who loses is the will. What's in here, okay? So I want you pissed off. I want you angry. I want you to go out there like she stole your lunch money and go get it.
Tim Stanton and Rich Medina have been riding on patrols for years. For these veteran detectives, no detail goes unnoticed.
Do I sound like a female on the radio?
No.
She keeps calling me a ma'am.
Who?
Dispatcher.
Calls you ma'am?
Every time.
That's priceless.
You didn't hear her? I'm gonna have to.
You're gonna have to what?
I have to get my voice a little deeper.
Oh, this is Detective Rich Medina here.
Yeah.
Rich Medina, a.k.a. Pretty Ricky, he's a great kid. Richie was always one of those cops that always wanted to be in the thick of things. He always wanted to put the handcuffs on someone, and he adds a little comic relief.
And do me a favor, stop pronouncing your ass. The car.
What? Do I say car?
Car.
That's... I don't say car.
Yeah, you do. You go, car.
Bravo 801.
801.
Apparent robbery. Victim had two fingers cut off. No location given. Victim currently at Boston Medical.
Bravo 908, go to 9.
908.
Sarge, we're going to go in and interview this. I'll get as best a description of where you need to start looking as I can.
Okay. I think time is at the essence. Maybe get a reattach.
Roger that. I'll update you as soon as I can, all right? It sounds like this guy was tortured. You know, it sounds like someone purposed to cut his fingers off. You know, my 24-plus years in the police department, I've never seen someone with their finger chopped off. When we first go in to speak to the victim, Juan Carlos Figueroa, he's sitting in the emergency room. Where was the guy brought in when he had his fingers cut off? His index finger was cut off by a crude method, and there was a lot of trauma to that hand, and the finger was nowhere to be seen.
Bravo 801, 908.
He basically told us he was on a walk in the area of Franklin Park, and he said he was approached by three males that robbed him. And then they attacked him and cut his finger off.
He supposedly drove himself to the hospital.
Have a good one.
His car is on scene, all right? Just tell him to secure that and we'll take care of it. All right, thanks, Mike.
What do you have for clothes, nothing?
Got his phone.
There's gotta be a lot of blood.
Dude, look at the amount of blood on this phone.
They say the car's bad.
See his finger? It's nasty.
For Stanton and Medina, the next stop is the crime scene.
You know exactly where that is?
I believe so. So the story was, he comes to the rotary, he pulls over to the right, so he walks all the ways around Franklin Park.
If you get your finger cut off, right, if someone beats you and tortures you,
yeah,
and cuts your finger and half your other finger off,
yeah,
on a night like tonight, there's no way someone doesn't see this or doesn't see the aftermath of this guy getting attacked.
I think he felt it or was it a shock?
Them cutting his fingers off? I guarantee he felt it originally. That must have hurt like think about how much force it takes to get through a bone, a finger, and someone that's a diligent gangster. Think about how much force it takes to get through a bone, a finger, and someone that's a diligent gangster.
Juan Carlos Figueroa has lost two fingers in a brutal assault. Detectives Tim Stanton and Rich Medina head to the location where the victim said the attack occurred.
Richie, if you get your finger cut off, right? If someone beats you and tortures you,
yeah,
and cuts your finger and half your other finger off, there's no way someone doesn't see this or doesn't see the aftermath of this guy getting attacked.
But at 6 p.m., right, it's still light out.
There's still people playing golf. There's still people probably playing softball. And then all the people that work at the Shattuck are probably still there.
Nothing on the stairs?
Not sure where the car was, though.
All right, keep going.
This is what I thought he said he parked. Actually, you know what? We should be able to see where the blood is because he walked back to his car.
Right.
Okay, so there's got to be stairs right here, no? That's duck sauce.
The softball field's right there. What stairs could he possibly be talking?
That's what I'm saying. Just look, see if you see up there. I'll look down here. There's a path here, so I'll just take a walk.
There's no blood up here. What's up?
Everything.
We just finished interviewing him. He said he parks his car, right?
Yeah.
Gets out of the car. He's walking around almost as a full loop.
I know
right?
This area well. Here's the deal. I think something transpired. You know what I mean? Someone doesn't want us to
be led back to their stash house.
Rich and I are going to search the car, try and get an ID, maybe see if we can get a good address.
You good? You safe, brother?
All right, my man. See ya. It didn't take long for us to realize that this wasn't, in fact, the crime scene. There was no blood evidence there. There was no crime scene anywhere.
Hey, Timmy.
Yo.
I found a set of stairs, and I walked. There was a lot of them, but...
There's no blood, correct?
Okay, I went down there, zero blood.
No blood. They checked everywhere. There's no way that this happened up here. Let's go back to the hospital and check the car.
Officer Jennifer Penton's first amateur boxing match is 3 days away, but it's just one of the things weighing on her mind. Buying her first home, dealing with her mother's declining health, and patrolling the streets of Hyde Park alone are all part of Jen's new normal.
I am entering, I feel like, the next phase of my life, and doing it on my own. What the hell is this? I have had some issues in the past with police cruisers and driving them into curbs and stuff. Damn it. But this one's not my fault. I have never changed a tire before. Man, I wasn't gonna call a tow truck. So being self-reliant is something that I've learned along the way. Hey guys. Ups and downs, and you know, you have bad days, but you have to rely on yourself a little bit more. I feel pretty confident in my ability to handle anything that goes wrong.
Detective Stanton and Medina found no evidence to support Juan Carlos Figueroa's claim he lost two fingers in an attack in Franklin Park.
The only crime scene that we're 100% sure is a cat. There's supposed to be a ton of blood in the car.
A lot of blood.
The only thing detectives know for certain is that the SUV Figueroa used to drive himself to the hospital is now in police possession.
What's up? How's everything?
Obviously, you know the scenario. Yeah. They looked in there for the finger. They didn't see the finger.
Okay. I don't know if you got the story. When he got here, he said he got stabbed down the street. From there, he tells us he was over here walking, so he's lying. Did anyone go by this guy's address? Make sure no one's murdered it. Like,
yeah, the truck owner's address. He went by there.
655.
Nothing.
Okay.
How much blood is on the exterior of the car?
Oh, very, very little.
How the f*** isn't there a load of blood?
You know where this is going? No.
So this will be one of our busier areas tonight. Bars are just gonna spill out right here. I think the biggest challenge about patrolling alone is that you're alone. Give the detail with a fight.
Some guys fighting in the street on Broad Street.
Code 927 en route. You have to keep in mind that your backup is they're close by, but they're not with you. Come here! Come here! Come here! I gotta relax. I'm out there working, and if it's gonna happen in front of me, I'm gonna have to do something about it.
Are you kidding me?
Finger-chop victim Juan Carlos Figueroa is sticking to his story, claiming he was assaulted in Franklin Park. But detectives Tim Stanton and Rich Medina aren't buying it.
The crime happened where he said it took place. I mean, you would have blood evidence. You would have the two fingers he was missing. If I was to rob someone and I won his ring and I cut his finger off, I'm not taking the fingers with me. We would have located the fingers.
Nothing is adding up. So the plan is to escort Figueroa and an interpreter to what he claims is the crime scene.
We're just going to go to my car over here.
The victim here, Juan Carlos, says he was robbed because they wanted a ring that he couldn't get off his finger. We talked to the girlfriend. Girlfriend says he doesn't wear jewelry. That's when you start scratching your head.
Ask him where he parked his car.
¿Dónde parqueaste tu carro?
Further up. Yeah,
and where did the incident happen?
¿Dónde ocurrió el incidente?
I walked down the road that night.
We brought him actually back to the location that he was describing. I'm like, show me where this happened. I wanted him to show me. And I want to prove to him that there's no way it could have happened there because there still would have been blood evidence.
Yeah, we can go right down this way over here because I walked this way. Come right over this way, this way, this way. Because I walked this way that night.
I think what was going through his head was that if the bad guys know that the police responded, that if he puts them on a wild goose chase, that somehow they may not come back and attack him again.
So you were coming, and you were going this way. So I walked all the ways up here. The night of the incident, I did not see any blood. Where is the blood?
Now, I was murdered as I was. Después de, porque yo me tuve que proteger con ellos, porque me cortaron.
The fear of the people that did it to him outweighs anything we can do. I mean, if you want to talk intimidation, I look like a ball of sunshine compared to someone that cut your finger off.
Show me which way you went, actually. And you ran this way. If you don't want our help,
say it.
Just tell us.
I mean, the crime is mayhem. He's permanently disfigured. And the penalty for that is life in prison.
He said if he sees the people, he can call you. If he saw them...
I just know it didn't happen here. I went there personally myself, and there was no blood there. Okay?
Our only concern was catching the person that cut the fingers off his hand.
Facing new challenges alone, on the job and in the ring, Jennifer Penton, who recently bought her first house, is packing up her life and moving out on her own.
So, Jen, what are you packing now?
My mom is my best friend.
And being a mother and being nosy.
And our relationship is probably the most important relationship that I have.
Well, these are when you were in Afghanistan, honey.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Wow.
10 years ago when I came home and was like, I'm joining the military, I think then my mom realized that she was going to have her hands full with me. I think now she's extremely proud of me. I think she accepts that this is the type of woman that I've become, and I like to, you know, move forward and progress and challenge myself.
Oh, I was so proud. I'm still very proud of you.
Thank you.
In Afghanistan, honey, there's no words.
It turned out to be such a rewarding experience. I couldn't predict at the time that it was going to turn out to be
that.
You know, such a good experience. Obviously, it got me ready for the police department, got me ready for the police academy.
And now you're gonna go kick butt at that boxing.
I'm so scared.
You're scared?
Well, nervous, like I've never done it before.
It is gonna be scary. You know me, I'm not gonna lie to you. But you know what? You're gonna get that, like when you went to Afghanistan mode, you know? This is something I've never done before, but I know I can handle this. I know who I am. I know what I'm capable of, and I know I can push myself when I have to push myself.
Having you there is going to be just helpful, and I'll keep my eyes on you. And
yeah, you better.
And going to give me, you know, just that little motivation I have, because I don't think you've gotten to come to, like, Chicago when I ran the marathon or some of the military things.
Like that, you know, I'm sorry for that, that I wasn't there like I should have been, but I had to do what I had to do.
You did what you did. You had to. What I always say is, you do the best with what you have.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't perfect.
No.
I won't sit here and say our childhood was perfect, but...
No, it wasn't.
It was...
It was the best that I could do at the time. Yeah.
You must have done something right, because I'm about to buy my own house.
Yeah.
Have a good job. I'll see you Saturday.
You'll see me Saturday at that box, and I wouldn't miss it for the world. No matter what, I'm going to be there.
My job in patrol is to interact with the public, answer calls for service, to help my fellow officers, and when somebody does something wrong, to hold them accountable.
Alpha 2-2. Female stating she was robbed in front of the theater there by 6 males.
There was a couple units earlier that were talking to me about a group of younger males that have been robbing people down here.
didn't see anybody running.
One suspect had a red baseball cap. Another suspect had a bald head, a brown or gray jacket.
Red baseball cap, bald head.
I see this flash. It's a person running, and he fits the exact description that was just put out. I take the turn to see where he's going.
Harrison Ave, I got him on Harrison Ave.
And I see five kids.
Kneeling onto Harrison Ave.
And another kid in there matches the description.
Get on the ground! All of you, get on the ground!
Harrison Ave, I got him on Harrison.
These guys, they meet the description. Obviously, I'm by myself.
Get on the ground! All of you, get on the ground! Get on the ground!
I try to amp up my command presence as much as possible.
Stay right there! Get on the ground! Get on your face!
Patrol Sergeant T.C. Cotronio has detained six young males suspected of recent pedestrian robberies on the streets of downtown Boston.
Get your hands behind your back. Both of them. Do you have anything on you?
All right, listen up. They were dropping a bunch of stuff as I came out.
So they had a couple wallets down there on the ground. I don't know if it's theirs, but they started throwing things over the fence. All right, 927. Do I have somebody with a victim can come down here and do a couple IDs?
I had time, and I had plenty of officers to help on scene. So that's where I'll go ahead, and I'll perform a lineup and do a drive-by.
Okay. He's going to drive by real slow. He's not going to stop. He's just going to keep on going real slow. You tell him which one it was. It may not even be them. So you have to understand that, okay? Don't worry, they cannot see you.
You never know what a victim's gonna do. When they get victimized, even if it's a real, serious crime.
Listen up real quick, we got somebody. I'm gonna do a drive-by.
You don't know how they wanna resolve the issue themselves.
Officers down there with the possible suspects. You guys ready?
Even though you know you have them red-handed, there is that point of tension beforehand because sometimes it goes south and it lets the bad guy get away.
Yeah, that's a positive ID, Sarge.
Positive! Thank you very much, gentlemen.
This is mission accomplished. You got the bad guy, you got the evidence, and you got the victim to cooperate, and they ID'd him.
This officer here has got a couple of wallets and a cell phone, too.
It's a nice, pretty package at that point.
Indications are that after having two fingers cut off, Juan Carlos Figueroa is scared and has purposely misled detectives while trying to hide the location of the crime scene.
So you were saying that you let someone use your car, sir?
See, it says another in the way.
Sergeant Detective Mike Stratton has joined Detectives Tim Stanton and Rich Medina to question the owner of the bloody SUV that Figueroa used to drive himself to the hospital.
I drove the car. He worked with him as a mechanic at his place.
Yeah. Okay, he works for you, sir?
Si, trabaja en el taller.
Yes. Oh, so he has access to that car?
Yes.
The address that's on the registration is where Juan Carlos...
Yeah,
we learned that there was a couple addresses that were known to be frequented by the victim.
Right, so he's got a side girlfriend and he's got a wife that lives in...
Ellos son casados. He's not married. He's got a girl here and a girl there.
God bless him.
He had not only one girlfriend, but he also had another girlfriend in two different locations. All of a sudden, we're starting to figure that this one could be a stash house where the true crime took place.
Tomorrow, Patrol Officer Jen Penton steps into the boxing ring against an unknown opponent for her first fight at a charity event.
What is this person doing here?
For today, getting back to what she's trained to do is a welcome distraction.
Oh, you want to leave? Oh, sure. Riding alone, I feel, is a little bit more dangerous, but it also keeps you on your game and it keeps you on your toes. Very weird that you have to be on guard a little bit more because you don't have that security of knowing that someone is right there to help you. They're like the land of the misfit toys. They don't belong together. Maybe they're lost. Don't do it. Well, they're like doing all sorts of illegal U-turns here. Make sure they're okay.
Lima 411.
Go ahead, ma'am.
River and Edgewater on a traffic stop. There you go, buddy. If there's another unit close by, no trouble, no emergency. Hey guys, how are you? You lost my friend? Because you almost hit that car as you were trying to do that U-turn there. Everything okay? You're shaking pretty hard right now. You just don't like police officers. You're just, your heart's beating out of your chest. You're just making me nervous, okay? I'm gonna have you step out real quick. You're just gonna talk to this officer for me, okay? Just step with this officer right here, okay?
What's up, bud? Nothing on your right?
No. The gang unit rolls up behind me. I start talking to the operator and the passenger. And the more I talk to them, the more their story doesn't make sense. Here's the thing. I've been doing this a long time. You guys aren't being truthful with me, okay? I don't know if you just made a deal with them, something stupid. If it was a bump, if it was a pill, just be honest with me, because you don't want to go to jail for something stupid that we find on him, or he gives it up for us and whatever. So is there something stupid? The driver, he's clearly not telling me the truth. So I decide to talk to the passenger, who tells me that they're in the area trying to buy some spice, which is synthetic marijuana. Acetone-free, not for human consumption. But you smoke it on foil or on a pipe?
Not on a pipe like that, not on foil.
Okay. He's got like foil in there, so something's getting smoked on foil. He said
that could be him. I got my pipes with me.
Okay.
He might not have one, that's why he doesn't.
Okay. Any other issues with any other prescription drugs or anything like that? Your eyes are all pinned down.
I don't do any prescription drugs. I take monthly drug tests out.
You on probation?
I'm good. Yeah, until September 20.
Okay, what are you on probation for?
Distribution.
Distribution of what?
Marijuana.
Okay, just sit tight for me. As the stop went on, I think the driver realized that we were onto his game, onto his BS, and finally decide to tell the truth.
Ecstasy in there.
Oh, yes. He just gave it up?
He just said, he said he has ecstasy in the center console. I pulled it out.
Awesome. Thank you. I'm hoping that maybe this arrest will steer you away from what you've been doing. You can't be having drugs on you. It just is what it is, okay? It's tough seeing young people doing drugs, buying drugs, selling drugs, just knowing where it can lead to. It reminds me of my sister and the decisions that she's made in her life. And if I could try to deter one of these kids from making those same decisions, then that's what I want to do.
Information gathered on addresses and associates of Juan Carlos Figueroa begin to clarify the sordid details of what went down.
It took a while, but we were able to find out that, in fact, his girlfriend made a phone call to her brother to go retrieve the finger.
Lieutenant Detective Strang, can I help you?
Mike.
What's up?
He said he got a phone call, he got a set of keys, he went there, he opened the door, and the finger was right there on the floor. He's taking us to where it happened.
What's he saying for location?
It's in Hyde Park, off of Hyde Park Ave. That address was very familiar to me. It's where my years in a drug unit.
See, I think he's going to go up that way. No, he's going
to go up Collins. Yeah, I guarantee he goes down to the bottom of the street and takes a left. I had executed two search warrants in that particular building where large amounts of drugs were recovered.
It's a notorious place. It's right here on the left-hand side.
There was blood on the door, and there was a large blood stain right outside on the carpet. So we felt pretty confident that that, in fact, was the scene. You know, at that point, we don't know. Is there a dead body in the apartment?
Boston police, anybody here, make yourself known. Nobody gets hurt.
The Boston police detectives have found the crime scene they've been looking for. The Hyde Park apartment where Juan Carlos Figueroa's two fingers were gruesomely chopped off.
Cover me. Ready?
Boston police, anybody home? Boston police, anybody here, make yourself known. Nobody gets hurt. Boston Police Department. Anybody home?
Yeah, it's gonna take a lot of blood here, too.
Blood everywhere, Mike. Everywhere.
Now, as we open the door, you see blood everywhere. I mean, there's blood on the floor. There's blood on the ceiling. You can tell that it was squirting everywhere. As you go further into the apartment, I noticed there was a chair there. That's where it happened. And I could picture in my head that they had him taped down or his hands down and they're cutting his fingers off.
As we looked in the kitchen, there was three blenders that had cocaine residue in them, a substantial amount of product to cut cocaine. That apartment was definitely used to cut up drugs. I mean, being able to find the actual crime scene was
finding a needle in a haystack, if you will. We rang the bell for the crime scene unit to come in, and they're the best of the best of forensic personnel that we have in the Boston Police Department. So we're going to utilize their expertise and the collection of evidence, and hopefully what they collect will lead us down a path with the suspect that attacked Juan Carlos.
Finding that crime scene, that's huge, because now we understand what happened, where it happened. It could put it over the top. The diligence paid off.
Yeah, I consider that a win, and I'll take that as a victory.
Finally, it's Saturday morning, and Jennifer Penton is ready to enter the ring at a charity event for victims of the Boston Marathon. Everyone's hope is to raise money for a good cause, but Penton knows for her, there may be a lot to lose.
I am feeling, you know, anxious and nervous and scared. It's the fear of the unknown. Never been in the ring before. But I am confident that I prepared and worked as hard as I possibly could to get ready for this fight, and it's for a good cause. And I have a lot of people out there supporting me and rooting for me, so I'm gonna try to focus on making them proud of me and just really do the best that I can.
Jen's in great shape. She trains really hard. She's gonna come out swinging, and I wish her the best of luck.
What's up, Timmy?
You ready for fight night?
Yeah, I'm ready.
You're fine. I saw the girl you're fighting.
Yeah.
Yes.
You look taller than me.
Go taller. You're fine. You're fine.
Is this my lovely outfit?
That's your outfit. Boston blue.
Awesome. So what's next?
Weigh in.
Okay. I'll just wait over here.
Good luck tonight.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Hey, how are you?
Hello?
Hi, Mama.
Hi, Andy. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
Not too good.
What's wrong?
I'm having trouble with my oxygen tank. I'm trying to get the big tank into the seat in the car, but we couldn't do it.
No,
I can't even come.
What? I don't understand.
Listen up, guys. Listen up. First bout on the sheet. Eddie McPanham out of Capiello's versus Nas out of Gentleman's Gym.
Is there someone, a neighbor, that we can ask to help put it in? Why are you screaming? Why are you screaming, Mom? There's no need to get upset.
Fight number two, Eve Stelvin out of Redline versus Zach DeLuca.
Okay, well, why are you... So you're just not going to come? Why?
Anthony Marcella versus Timmy Ramos.
You're not going to be there for me. That's what you're saying.
David Escobar versus Thomas Hedin.
Why...
Carlene Mazzi versus Jennifer Penton. The bout list is going to be right underneath the clock. Okay? Questions? No questions? Good luck, gentlemen.
My mom decided not to show up.
Why?
She was, her oxygen tank didn't fit in the car that went to get her. So then she ended up just hanging up on me.
Are you disappointed?
Huh?
You're disappointed.
But life's full of disappointments.
Is it still too late to get here?
She hung up on me. She said she couldn't handle the stress.
You know what? Maybe she doesn't want to see somebody hitting you.
It was tough finding out right before my fight that my mom wasn't going to be there. You know, I felt let down. And, you know, you don't want to be emotional and mentally not in the moment when you have something big like this coming. It was sad. It was tough.
Listen, you gotta really maintain your composure. Don't think of anything else. You're in there for one reason, so that girl doesn't humiliate you, all right? And that's what she's trying to do, all right? She's not your friend. She come down here from Keene, New Hampshire to humiliate you in front of this crowd in your hometown.
There's a whole lot of emotions going on, a lot of fear, a lot of anxiety and just nerves and adrenaline.
1, 2, 3, 2.
It's mentally difficult leading up to it because I knew that I could lose.
Marty, let the other girl get in the corner. Let her make her get in first.
Ladies and gentlemen, in the red corner, give it up for Connie Manje. And in the blue corner from South Boston, we have Jennifer Penton.
Once the bell rings, it just goes straight. Look at her knees are trembling. She's scared.
I am anxious about the fight. You know, I'm nervous, but...
Ready? Yeah, got it.
I am used to taking on a goal, preparing myself for it, training for it, and then succeeding.
Get in there, Jim!
And in the blue corner from South Boston,
I am full of emotion.
We have Jennifer Penton!
My heart is racing. It's the most terrifying moment ever.
Work that jab! Work that jab!
Push it in her face, Jen! Step in, Jen! Step in, Jen! Hug Jen!
It took a lot of guts for Jen to sign on to this. It's the first time she's actually had to put a headgear on and be the recipient of punches.
Fire back, Jen! Fire! Get in there, Jen!
Fire back!
Jen's up against a pretty serious fighter. I don't know where they brought this girl from, but this girl means business.
Jennifer, open. Breathe through your nose. Through your nose. Don't let her back you up. Throw nice straight punches, Jen.
Every time you throw that right, you hit it with it.
Right? You're blocking punches, but
beautiful.
You gotta fire. You gotta throw hands. Beautiful. Throw your hands. Show.
Yeah.
You gotta throw punches, hon. You gotta throw some punches. Come on. Don't go backwards. Come on, Jen. Come on, Jen. You're not throwing the right hand. She won't throw the...
Throw the right hand, Jen. Throw the right hand.
It's pretty tough getting up there in front of everyone. Taking the punches that way. And in the end, losing. The whole event just isn't going the way that I had planned. It's embarrassing. I am, you know, disappointed, upset, angry, sad. A lot of things that come with, you know, training for something as hard as I did and then losing.
Didn't it go last night? By the looks of you, it wasn't too good, huh, honey?
No, not so good.
No?
Not really what I was expecting.
No?
No. It was really difficult that you weren't there. Like, I was expecting you to be there.
I know. It didn't help.
No,
but you know,
definitely
Jen,
didn't help.
In life, there's times that you just can't be where you want to be, and I couldn't be there. And I'm sorry for that, because I think that was very important for you.
You know, it was difficult, and the timing of it was hard on me. And even though I had trainers and they were in my corner, well, it was just
yourself,
me in the ring, you know?
Right, nobody there
no
but
one else,
you
yeah.
and her, right?
And she wasn't on my side, you know?
Oh, no, she wouldn't be on your side. God, that alone is something to be proud of, that you actually, nobody else with you, and you're the one that went in that ring by yourself.
It was rough. You know, did I want you there? Yeah. Am I upset and angry? Yeah, I'm not going to lie to you. But, you know, I did it. And I walked away with my head a little sore, but high, you know. And I'm happy that I had the courage to get in there.
Oh, yeah.
And ultimately did it by myself.
All right, listen, Jen. I'm not disappointed. You did the hardest part of the whole sport.
I think the fight's back in me.
Walking up there, putting your pride on the line, and getting in there and giving it a go.
I think... losing is a part of the recipe for winning.
And that there is a major victory.
I think sometimes I focus so much on winning and so much on being the best and put a lot of pressure on myself. And the way that the fight worked out, I think it happened exactly the way it was supposed to. I think it turned out to be a lesson that you can get hit and get knocked down, but still get up again.